Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is proudly brought to you by the My Donor Story book series and Pregnant Together, a virtual community for anyone and everyone who has felt outside the box when it comes to creating your family. Check them out at mydonorstory.com and pregnanttogether.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Our state does not honor child custody in wills.
This is why every lawyer I've ever spoken to on this show says, I don't care how confident you are with your family makeup, you get that second parent adoption because
that's
you
exactly
just
right.
Don't know. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I, of course, am your host, as always, and you, my beautiful, beautiful friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is, and always has been, to celebrate, highlight, uplift, and normalize LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And woo, child, this episode really does just that. Before I get into who I sat down with, I do want to say a trigger warning. We do discuss some miscarriages in this episode. It's a small part of the episode, but I do want to let y'all know. So if you're sensitive to that, please take care of yourselves and take caution. All right. So what is this episode about? I'm not even sure I can summarize it that well because there's a lot of legal stuff in it, but I'm going to do my best. I am not a lawyer. I am not an expert in any way. Y'all know that. I am just here letting the stories be told, but here I go. So I sat down with Megan, Taylor, and Jessica. Because I had received an email a few weeks prior to sitting down with them from Megan, and the subject line read as such: three married lesbian couples are fighting the state of Louisiana for the non-genetic mothers to have rights to their children. Obviously, I was like, wait, what? I'm sorry, what? And this is on the heels of what recently happened in Italy or might still be happening. I'm not even sure. Like I said, I'm not an expert and I'm not all up on the news all the time. But in Italy, they were trying to take away the rights of non-bio moms. And so, of course, I open this email, I read it up. And basically, these women were in the middle of a lawsuit. This one judge used some archaic paternity clause and stated that these lesbian moms don't have to adopt because of this paternity clause. There's no paternal person in any of these relationships. But anyway, like some archaic clause was used and their cases were all put on hold and they were not able to adopt their children, which, as we know, if you listen to this here show, it is very strongly advised by every legal person I have ever spoken to that the non-bio parent should adopt the child that they made with their partner, just to make sure we're all safe and sound and dotted and crossed and all the things tied, bow tied with the law. So I said, Megan, let's get you in. Let's tell your story. Let's get you on here. And, you know, they thought this was going to be a really long, drawn out thing. And it was a really scary thing. And so when I sat down with them, they were really in the midst of it. I sat down with three separate mothers who were going through their own separate battles. And as you should be, they were super fired up when we talked. And then a couple weeks later, after we recorded, I got an email from Megan with some really great news, which nobody saw coming. Nobody saw the ending that was coming to be such a great turnout. But I'm gonna try to summarize what happened. You're not gonna hear this in the episode. You're only gonna hear them in the midst of it. So I think it's important that you know that. But I also think it's really important that you should know that it has been updated and in the best way possible for LGBTQ families out there. So basically what happened was the appellate court asked their attorney to resubmit the appeal in a different format, which then allowed this court to judge on it. Basically, what ended up happening is they made a verdict that would prohibit any Louisiana judge from using this archaic clause to prevent same-sex married couples' denial of adoption. So great for LGBTQIA plus parents in Louisiana. The attorney didn't even see this being an outcome, so it's even better than they thought. And it's a huge win for the entire state. So it's important you know that. Now you're going to go in and you're going to hear them in their struggle. And I'm going to let y'all know, I debated not sharing this just because it's all over and done with and everything is fine. And then I thought, you know what? No, this is the stuff. This is it. The struggle and the journey of what they just had to go through just to receive the same rights as those who are not LGBTQIA+, right? Is that's the stuff. That's the point of this show. So I wanted you to hear their story and just go down that path with them for a little bit, because it really is upsetting and important. And then, you know, what we need to do is share this with everyone we know who might not know about second parent adoption. Because if you don't have to do second parent adoption, chances are you don't know about it, right? So this might be a good way to explain to the family members in your life who don't get it what exactly is at stake here. And it's scary, the symbolism of this even being brought up and used in a court feels immense, and it feels like ominous, if you know what I mean. So take a listen, share it far and wide. That's what I'm asking. And, you know, throw a little congratulations on my social media to the ladies, because they got a really wonderful verdict. And you know, applaud them for getting fired up. I hope you all enjoy this here episode. And I think it's time to roll the tape. I have yammered on enough, and I hope I made sense. And once again, I would like to reiterate, I am not a legal person. I don't even know the term to use. I usually use the wrong terms for everything. So I just felt this was just an important story to share. So I'm going to share it for you. All right, Helen, Beulah, Nicole, please, my lovely assistants who don't exist. Except Nicole. Nicole probably could have said this way better than me. That's what I'm saying. I should have just brought Nicole in to explain this. Anybody, a lawyer who wants to explain this better for me, write in, please, to thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com and let me know. Okay, thank you very much. And now we will roll that tape.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
I'm Megan Taylor and Jessica.
Hi.
Instead of me trying to nutshell exactly what's happening, let's just do a 30-second elevator pitch. If you can keep it to 30 seconds, and if you can't, I don't even care. But let's just tell people what you reached out to me about and why I just felt it was like so important to get this story out. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Megan, you're going to do it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm just going to do a little countdown. Here we go. On your mark. Get set. Go.
All right. So we are each one half of three lesbian couples who are being hit with something in Washtenaw Parish in Louisiana. We all have sons. We all had sons via donors, either known or unknown, and conceived that way. And when we went to file for adoption, second parent adoption rights, the judge used a civil code that said we cannot do that because we have rights already. The problem is civil code article 185 talks about a man and a woman. And so when other issues have come up, they can't honor that because we don't fall under that. So one of us is in the appeal process, one of us is waiting, and then I am waiting until my son is 6 months old, but all of our cases have been put on hold.
Boom.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So to add to that, this is the opinion of one judge and one judge only who believes that we already have rights due to the civil code. However, many other judges, I would go ahead and say many, many other judges do not believe that we have those rights. So if this judge does believe we have these rights, but let's say we go to divorce or maybe one of our known donors comes to contest for custody of our child, this judge's opinion doesn't hold up in another court. And that's the issue.
The sad part is it's happening in our, like, right down the hall. So, like, our judge that said, oh, no, you don't need an adoption because you already have rights based on the civil code because you were married. The judge three doors down could see our case in so many years via, you know, divorce or death and say, no, no, that doesn't apply to you because you're not a husband or a father and you cannot pass a paternity test.
Yes. And that has actually happened.
That's actually happened because,
yeah.
Wait, what is the name of this like code that this judge is referring to? What's it called? Isn't it called like the
Civil Code 185?
Isn't there like some fatherhood thing in it?
Yeah.
I haven't memorized it.
It's presumption of paternity. Mm-hmm. And it states,
The husband of the mother is presumed to be the father of the child if the child is born within the marriage or within 300 days of the termination of the marriage. So it is very gendered.
What the also like based on marriage, based on birth happening from a marriage, like, wait, I'm so confused because it's talking
right,
about
exactly. So we all are. Even the judges like, are confused.
It's talking about freaking marriage. And there are so many people who get pregnant who are not married, but
an example of it and the way it doesn't just affect LGBTQ plus people is, for example, let's say a woman gets a divorce. She's separated from her husband. In that separation, she has a child or gets pregnant by another man. So they get divorced. Well, if they don't get divorced
within the 300 days,
right, they get divorced within the 300 days, the man that she divorced is still the legal.
He's presumed to be the father of the child.
And this puts these women in a situation where sometimes they're leaving their abusers. And now they're having to go face to face with their abusers and ask and beg their abuser to relinquish rights to a child that does not belong to them. And then ask the biological father to adopt their own biological child.
Oh, my God. Like this is such a problematic code, law, whatever. That's why I just thought it was important to have you come on and explain what's going on, because like this is happening right now, 2024, end of February, 2024, all of your cases for second parent adoption, meaning for the non-bio parent to be legally recognized as a parent of a child, each of you created together with your spouses and were That's along right. every second of the way, all of your cases are just on pause. You're like in limbo mode, just waiting for what?
They're on pause. Mine is actually going to the Second Circuit because so what happened is our judge denied our adoption, citing the Civil Code Article 185, stating that my wife, because I'm the biological mother, my wife did not need an adoption because our son was already hers because we were married under this code. So our attorney took it back and said, hey, we don't agree with that. Can you take another look? She said, you know what? I'm going to stick to my decision that you don't need an adoption. So we didn't like that answer. So we have filed an appeal with the Second Circuit to have them take a look at the case. But until my appeal goes through, Taylor's adoption is on hold. And Megan is kind of on hold, too. One, because her son isn't quite 6 months yet. But at the same time, if this doesn't get done by the time her son is 6 months, then hers is on hold as well. So it kind of we're just kind of stuck in a limbo state until this appeal gets a decision.
And when you have known donors, it adds an added added fears for sure.
Anxiety. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's really crazy because so many parts of this are just ludicrous. Like this judge is stating that because of this law that has literal husband in its wording.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
There's no husband here, first of all. There's no husband.
Amen.
Never was, as I know. Nobody calls himself a husband between your marriages. You never know.
No.
But, right. So there's no husband here. So first of all, that's ludicrous.
It gets so much worse because in the state of Louisiana, you cannot terminate rights without someone assuming rights.
That's right.
So even though she's saying we already have rights, well, they have known donors. They can't terminate the rights of the known donors. But I used a cryobank, and in the state of Louisiana, my donor still has rights. So even though I don't know who he is.
Right. This anonymous mystery person still has rights.
Yes.
So is it like they say, like, you have to wait 6 months and if the sperm donor comes forward or something, is there like some kind of caveat with that?
Unfortunately, in mine and Jessica's case, No, because their rights were never terminated. So they...
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
So their rights were never terminated. So this opens the door to where my donor can track me down in 10 years if he wants.
But oddly enough, so in with that, my donor came with my wife and I to our attorney's office to sign all of our paperwork. He's like, because what we had to do is he had to say, yes, I give up my rights. I will allow, you know, your wife, Nikki, to adopt this baby. And I had to give up, well, not give up my rights, but I had to say, yes, I'm also in agreement that I want Nikki to adopt our baby. We all three of us were in the same office at the same time, signed the same documents, notarized.
Doesn't hold up.
The judge will, it will not hold.
Similarly,
he cannot release his rights.
And similarly, I have a donor contract, and in the state of Louisiana, donor contracts do not hold up. And then I know lot of your listeners are going to pull their hair out, especially if they come from more progressive states, and they're going to say something along the lines of, well, what about just, I mean, you just need to make a will, but our state does not honor child custody in wills.
This is why every lawyer I've ever spoken to on this show says, I don't care how confident you are with your family makeup, you get that second parent adoption because
that's
you
exactly
just
right.
don't know. And now you're bringing out all this, what is it, blue tape that they're using or red tape? I don't even know what they call it. You know, I'm
all
so bad
colors.
With the terms. All the colors of the tapes to complicate this thing, right? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about your contracts with your, let's talk about getting these known donors, right? Let's start with you, Jessica. Like, so you went down this known donor path. I'm sure you dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. Like, how did you go about your known donor search and contract and all the things?
I grew up without my father. My mom is also a lesbian. So I didn't grow up in a two female household, but my mother had me, my father is kind of in and out. So I wanted a known donor for my son because when the time comes up, you know, he's going to have those questions. And I didn't want to make that decision for him. So if he starts asking those questions when he gets older, so we really wanted it, you know, to be someone that we trusted, not someone out of like a cryobank or anything. Like we wanted to have a relationship with the donor as well. He was very close to our family, still is very close to our family. And so we started talking and we were like, hey, you know, this is what we think we want to do. It's kind of out of left field to ask this question. Would you be interested? And his response was, oh my gosh, I love you guys so much. I want you to have a family. I don't want children at all. I don't want to raise them. I don't want to take care of them. So if I can gift this to your family, then yeah, let's absolutely do this. And then of course it was not in front of an attorney yet, but we kind of had months of, okay, well, what if this happens? Okay, what if this happens? Are you sure you don't want him or her? Like, are you absolutely sure you don't want children? So once the time came, we always kind of kept in contact, let him know what was going on. And when he reached 6 months, we were like, hey, we can go and we can sign your rights away. You don't owe me any money. You don't owe me, like, I'm not going to take you to child support, anything. We can just live our amicable lives and, you know, we'll raise our son. And he's like, sounds great. Let's do it. Didn't work out that way because we kind of thought it was all cut and dry.
You would think so. Also, you don't want this guy who's doing you such a huge, giving you such a huge gift and, you know, giving a huge piece of himself. You don't want him to be stuck in like some legal drama that that he doesn't need to as well.
And we've asked those questions, like right now, because he can't terminate his rights, by the judge's standard, myself, obviously I have rights because I'm the biological mother. My wife has rights because we're married, but so does my son's, well, I'm going to say birth father. I mean, it's his donor, but so he has rights as well. But then the issue kind of comes up because we always ask these what ifs. If something were to happen to me, not necessarily in like divorce aspect, but if something were to happen to me and say I was in a car accident and I was incapacitated or I didn't survive, then, you know, because you can't put this kind of stuff in a will, is it kind of far-fetched a little bit? Yes,
no.
To say it's going to go this far, but
I don't
think so. But at the same time, no, it's not.
I don't think it's far-fetched at all.
My family loves my wife very much and they will make sure that our son stays with him. However, the court could come back and say, you know what? Well, now that your marriage is dissolved, wife, you have no legal guardianship to this kid. And this man who very avidly said, I don't want to raise a child. Well, now you're going to pick up this 9-year-old little boy and say, here, donor, raise him.
It's all kinds of insane.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast.
Y'all, just a quick sec here. The need for community is real, as we're learning from this here episode. And I have a wonderful community that I think we should all know about. It's Pregnant Together. It's a virtual community for anyone who's felt outside the box when it comes to creating your family and also just being a part of your family. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource for our community, the LGBTQIA+ community. And it's run by queer midwife Maria Goodman. It is just an awesome place to go to find community. They have workshops. They have community support groups. They have advice from experts. Like if you want to talk to a midwife, you can. It's a beautiful space for folks who don't feel like they fit in most of the other spaces. And I think it's clear, especially from this here episode, that it's really important that we find our people and we work together to create and uphold the inclusion that is really, really needed in the world. And the best part about it is listeners of the Queer Family Podcast will get your first month into this community free. You're just going to click the link in our show notes to get that month and get started now. You can also learn more at pregnanttogether.com.
Love is love.
I have one more question. When you were starting the donor process with him, did you make any kind of contract together or did you get a contract? Did you get a lawyer involved before the baby was born?
We did get a lawyer involved only because he wants his identity to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. So we did sign like NDAs and stuff like that. So that way we can't turn around and say, oh yeah, XYZ is our donor, because he wanted to be anonymous until he wanted it to be known, I guess. So kind of like us not asking him for money was kind of his security on our end to not go and just say, yeah, such and such is, you know, our son's donor. And then of course we asked our attorney, like, you know, are we okay that we're married? Is it okay that we didn't pay this man to, you know, give us a sample? Because technically that's kind of frowned upon as well. Like you can't just kind of say, here's my sample, lesbian couple mate. Like you can't just do that in Louisiana. So it's kind of like a catch 22. So we just had to make sure that everything was right, I guess. And
right. Yeah.
It wasn't.
No, and now this man who wanted to be completely anonymous is like being called out by the freaking courts. Like really, like Correct. If you think about it, right? Like,
yeah,
what the actual okay. Uh-huh.
Which is very similar with my known donor as well.
Yeah. So let's pivot over here. Like what happened with your situation? Did you get a contract beforehand or like?
My situation is super interesting, but I have to keep his identity very much a secret because he does not know that we conceived and I'm trying to keep it that way. We chose a donor across the country in a blue state. And we did that purposefully so we can have a donor contract be signed in his state, a state that does uphold donor contracts. I did talk to an attorney before we made all of these decisions. Mm-hmm. That way, in case anything came back, I could try to, I can't guarantee it would work, but in my red state, I could try to use that as a loophole. This was signed here, so you have to honor it, uphold it by their state's laws. Hopefully that was our biggest, hurdle was just that issue. But no, unfortunately, that was not our biggest hurdle.
No.
We actually conceived twice. She did miscarry the first and now we have our son now.
You don't want him to know because you don't want him to like freak out because you're going through what you're going through, basically.
No, it keeps us safe. So in Jessica's situation, she really knows her donor. In my situation, he is a stranger to me. He's considered a known donor because I did have to meet up with him for a fresh sample, so to speak. It was simply a donation. I mean, as medical as we could get it. And he is anonymous to me, pretty much. He's a stranger in my life.
And where did you find him?
I am not. I cannot tell you that.
Okay.
Ooh. So I was legally advised. Sorry, because okay, helped, all of these bits of information could potentially help him track me down if he was looking. So let's say if he does try to change his mind, I'm in a safer space. I'm sorry, Jessica. I am not trying to do this to her. I am in a little bit of a safer space than Jess. I would go ahead and say Megan's the safest right now. I'm a little bit of a safer space where because he does not know that we've conceived and he does not know how to track me down and these things that he cannot find me to come forward to change his mind until we get this sorted out.
This is super scary because you're being forced to like keep this secret, even though you had an arrangement already and got this contract made in a state that would uphold this contract, right? And now you're in this crazy space where you can't even tell this person that it happened. Like, it's all kinds of craziness because this judge has decided, because of this weird husband parentage shit, whatever it's called, paternal parentage because you're married shit, that
we essentially have paternal rights is what she's claiming.
Right. This is insane. This is
important to understand that this is unprecedented in our state. So, so this is the first time that we know of.
She's done it before, but no one's ever appealed it.
Right. But our judge has done this before. But so far, we are the first three to say, whoa, hang on, let's do something about this.
Because you deserve to have this. You deserve to have this second parent adoption. You need to.
But it is so important to understand that this is unprecedented. So whatever happens to, no pressure, whatever happens with Nikki and Jessica's case will affect every other lesbian who conceives with sperm donation who needs an adoption going forward in the state until something else is done with the law.
Right,
and that's why we are on a fight for better legislation as well.
In the same aspect, we've kind of discussed this civil code before. We don't assume that our judge use this to be malicious or anything like that. Like, she legitimately thinks that we have rights. But at the same time, what if you do come in contact? Like, now we've brought this civil code to light, I guess you will. Like, we brought it up and we're talking about it. What if you do come across a judge that in their mind, they think, I really don't want to grant this lesbian couple this adoption. And then they say, oh, you know what? That judge down in Northeast Louisiana said this, and she said, oh yeah, like I want them to, I think they have rights. So let me use this.
Yeah. Let me use this so that I cannot grant these second parent adoptions because gay people shouldn't be parents. Like, and then it catches like wildfire, and that's wildfire. And that's what we see happening with so many things. The anti-trans legislature that's like spreading like wildfire through the country. And then these things, they just start with one little case and one little loophole that somebody finds. And then, ooh, we can use that with Roe v. Wade, right? All this stuff.
That's exactly right.
And then states follow suit. And that's why this is some scary shit. And then you look at Italy within the past like year, not even a full year, they're taking away the rights of these non-bio mothers. This is a threat. This is a scary thing. And it does need to be brought to light. And so, Megan, what's happening with you? Because you used a sperm bank. Can you just give the different nuances that are happening with your situation? And like, just so everybody can get like a good picture of where we are and what, you know, what everything could mean, really.
So I started trying to get pregnant myself way before I even met my wife. I started in 2013. So for me, I was trying to do it alone. And unfortunately, after 10 years and I've lost five children.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I have a beautiful son now. but my wife, you know, I met my wife and then we kind of paused a little bit and decided to go back. Even when I met her, I was like, look, that clock is ticking. I got to go. I got stuff to do. I got to be a mom. I had already chosen to use a sperm bank. And then we decided to continue going with that. We decided to do our IVF, which is reciprocal IVF.
That also makes this insane. Yeah. Keep going because this is crazy.
Well, the way it was explained to me, and this is, we had such a hard time finding a lawyer to, because it's so, there's no specific law. There's no specific way that this is handled in the state of Louisiana. So I never could get an exact answer as to which was the better way. And as we see, there's really no good way to do it. Anyway, so I was told that there was the rule of three in Louisiana that they try to go by. As long as you're two of the three, then you'll get parental rights. You can intent to parent, carry, and then genetics. So if it was genetics and intent to parent, then that person would have rights. Then if I carried and had the intent to parent, then I would have rights. So that's what we did and why we did it the way we did.
You carried, right, Megan?
No, that's what we tried to do. And so what happened was I could get pregnant, but right at the second trimester, I would miscarry every time. And then what was happening, and this is a little TMI, sorry guys. But my body would keep them alive, but they would not grow. So then they would start to decay. That's so terrible. And so I would have to have an abortion every time.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't, they weren't viable. But then the Roe v. Wade was overturned and I was like, oh my God, what happens if that happens again? And so our doctor was like, look, it's time anyway, with everything going on, we need to find a different path. And so my wife ended up carrying and she had an amazing pregnancy and we have an amazing child. But I am a non-bio mom. And so what Louisiana,
so you don't have two of the things.
I don't have two of the things.
I'm also wondering if you had gone down the, if that route had worked where you carried her egg, she had the intent to parent and the biological connection, if that would still hold up or if loophole would have been found for that too. Like, I'm just wondering because you find all these things and you're looking at the law and you're saying, okay, well, this, we fit this, we fit this, we fit this. This is going to go fine for us. This is going to go right for us. And it seems like in every single instance, there's a loophole. You're not, it's just not going to happen.
I founded a nonprofit here, NELA Pride. It's Northeast Louisiana Pride. And it's to improve and enrich the lives of the LGBTQ plus here in our area. So we had an event last week and I'm trying to, convince people to go vote. And I'm trying to convince people, like, get involved and be, you know, it's great to be an ally and we love and appreciate our allies. We need our advocates and we need our activists. We need people to move past allyship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this woman raised her hand and she was like, look, I'm not trying to be an asshole to you, but what is the point? And she was like, we have a supermajority. We're in a deep red state, deep South, hardcore red state. What is the purpose? And so that's one thing that we're fighting. There's not clear and concise language in our laws to protect lesbian and non-biological parents and our gay parents and our trans parents. There's not anything there. So we're really at the mercy of whoever is ruling on our individual cases. And it doesn't matter how many contracts we have in place. It doesn't matter how much research and conversations we have with our donors. It doesn't matter if we pay. I literally spent my entire life savings trying to have a child through IVF and RIVF, not to talk anything against other ways, but thinking that was going to give us the very most protections and my very best chance of being a mother. And Louisiana just repeatedly keeps telling me, well, you're not a mother enough. You know, you hear, you don't know what love is until you're a mom. Well, when do I get to be a mom? I didn't get to carry. They don't have my genetic material. And now our government is saying, you're still just not mom enough. So when do I get to be a mom?
To add to it, we have to sign on the father line on the birth certificate. Just to add to it, add to a kick in the gut to what she's saying. We have to sign when we get married. We are the groom. I'm the groom. When we get married, I mean, when we have children, I'm the father. She's the father.
They don't let you cross it out and put mother. Like at least in New York, when I don't remember our marriage certificate. That I don't remember. But when our daughter was born, we saw that it said father. So, and we said, this is, there's no father here. Is there a different form? They're like, no, you just cross it out and put mother and it'll hold up. The birth certificate came to the house, you know, it comes later as I was listed as father. And we called and we're like, this is not right. We are two mothers. And we did eventually get it changed. However, the person on the phone, the clerk or whoever, gave us shit for it and questioned us and was like, well, are you married? My wife was on the phone. Actually, yes, we are. And also that doesn't matter. And then she said, well, do you have a marriage certificate? Yes. Okay. You need to mail me a copy. I can't do anything. Right. We had to go through some hoops, but it sounds like we're just moving backward. This was in 2013.
2024.
Right. Right. Wait, we should, by now, things should be totally, totally different in a better way.
That's right.
Not this way.
So the thing, I've always heard like we're a decade behind the bigger cities like down here, but I'm going to quickly just experiences that I've had. So we had a big wedding planned. I tested positive for COVID 2 days before our wedding, so we had to cancel the wedding. So then my wife surprised me, my then fiance surprised me after we got better, and she surprised me with an elopement package, and we were going to go, she planned the whole thing in Arkansas. We ended up going to 6 courthouses in Arkansas before we found someone who would write our marriage license in 2020.
What?
And it was always a reason past. It wasn't, oh, I'm not, I'm doing this not because of that, but oh, well, I'm so sorry. We're closing. We're closing.
They
right
always
now.
Seem to have a reason, don't
we're,
they?
We're closing for lunch. Oh, COVID. Oh, I'm so sorry. We just heard that we're having to close our courthouse back up for COVID. We went to so many places. We just went up the state of Arkansas, going from town to town into courthouses until we finally got our marriage license, because we had to get it the day before in the state of Arkansas. Same thing when I went to get my name changed for my driver's license, which still kept COVID plexiglass. And she was so nice. And, oh, I'm getting my name changed. Congratulations. Everything was wonderful. I slide my marriage license under the plexiglass. She clocks that it's Amanda and Megan, immediately changes and slides it back. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to do that.
I love the story.
Yeah. And so I slide it on back. I'm like, let's go ahead and try. You know,
I love her.
Let's go ahead and try.
We're going to try that again.
World. We go to have my son and we're checking them in. And she's like, oh, so this is your mom talking to Amanda about me. And she's like, no, that's my wife. And the woman was like, no, that's your mother. No, that's my wife. Like, and it was just awkward, like, is she really not understanding, or is she trying to, like,
or is she just...
you know, hint, hint, wink, wink. And then I hear that they do it the other things. And then we have horror stories from other lesbian moms in our area who, if you didn't have all the paperwork, like you said, they don't tell you, but if you don't have your marriage certificate and you don't do it before the child is born and you don't have it on file before the child is born, then you don't get to be on the the birth certificate.
So funny enough, in the hospital, when I gave birth to my son, the hospital's maybe about 15 minutes from our house. So me and my wife were there, we're loving, we have our new baby, like we're so happy. So the office calls to get the paper, the names for the birth certificate. And they say, what's your name? Where were you legally born? Yada, yada. So I give them all my information. They say, okay, what's your husband's name? And I was like, well, my wife's name is Kristen. We all call her Nikki, but legally she goes by Kristen. And I said, is it going to be a problem putting her on the birth certificate? And they said, are you legally married in the state of Louisiana? Like, it wasn't even, are you legally married? It was, are you legally married in the state of Louisiana? And I said, yes, we are. And she said, do you have your marriage license, your driver's license, both of your birth certificates, and your social security cards?
And they're not even supposed to require all that, but they did that to me too.
And I told her, I said, yeah, we have it. And she said, okay, well, would you mind emailing it to me? I just gave birth 24 hours ago and you want me to email this information? So my wife left the hospital, went to our house, to our safe, got all of our paperwork, came back, and I'm sitting in the bed with the baby in one arm and I'm screenshotting on my phone.
Oh my God.
To send in all this information. And when she brought it, I mean, she did list myself and my wife, but I just checked the birth certificate that came in through the mail, and it does say certificate of live birth, state of Louisiana, and it says mother/parent. One, and then it says father/parent 2. So parent 1 and parent 2 is on there, but our marriage license, ours says groom and bride.
Oh, like mine, I think, says groom/other on mine.
We got married in 2019.
Like I'm an other, I'm being reduced to an other.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's crazy because don't try to tell me that the teenagers who end up getting accidentally pregnant and going to the hospital, don't tell me those boys don't get put on the birth certificates.
Oh,
who
absolutely
are not married to the girls. Let's be real here.
That's something
you don't have to
up.
Have a marriage certificate to be put on a birth certificate. It's all
and you have
kinds
to be legally
bullshit.
Married in the state of Louisiana. Like,
oh my God,
calm down.
This is crazy. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast.
Hey, folks. I just wanted to pop in real quick in the middle of this story here, because if there's anything we're learning from this story is that there's not enough representation for families like ours out there. I have a wonderful resource for all of y'all who want the representation of your families or other families that are different than yours in your homes. The My Donor Story book series by Sharon Leah is a wonderful series of children's books that lovingly explains donor conception, and uses simple language to illustrate the basic concepts of genetics. It's wonderfully done. They have different versions for different family makeups. And what's beautiful about it is parents can pick their conception type for each family. So if you're a two-mom family who used a donor egg and donor sperm, you can find that. If you're a two-dad family who used a surrogate and an egg donor, you can find that too. Like, for instance, that's Caleb's story. We have that one. And I personally have a wide array of them because I think it's important that my children know about families that look like theirs, yes, and also families that look slightly different from theirs, right? It's all about inclusion. So check them out at mydonorstory.com, and you can also find them at Amazon, and they're a wonderful addition to your children's library. Okay, back to the story.
Love is love.
She had every right to interpret the law the way she did. The problem is, why do we have this ambiguous, outdated, as Megan says, archaic law on the books? That's the problem. We're That's never going to be able to get, and maybe she is a bigot all day long, and maybe she's not. We'll never know. But hypothetically, even if she is, we have a system set up so she can be all day long. So we're never going to be able to get rid of all the bigots of the world. But we can change the system if we are a part of the system. But I think also so often people's answer to us is, in this is on both sides of the aisle. We get it here. If you don't like it here, then move. And on the other side of the fence, well, I live in a progressive state and this is why I moved to a progressive state. And that's fabulous for you, but you're not helping us. That rhetoric of that conversation is not helping us, because so your implication is that half of America doesn't deserve rights because we didn't choose to move. We can't move. And maybe I like it here. It's crawfish season right now. And we just had Mardi Gras. Come on now. And so I want to be here, but I say it all the time. I'm not running away from this. My community deserves rights. My friends, I have two best friends. Shout out to y'all if you're listening. And they're getting married and they so desperately want to have a baby. And they're waiting to see how our fight turns out so they can have a baby. I'm not fighting this for me. I'm fighting this for us, for all of us, every day. We have to consult with attorneys before we get married. We have to consult with attorneys before we have kids. Then we have to consult with attorneys after we have kids, because we'd realize that the judge's decision is now this decision. And so now this no longer applies. So now we have to go about it this way. I mean, in where we live, it's just like, you don't find love or have babies unless you have money for an attorney. And it shouldn't be that way.
Mm-mm. It shouldn't be that way. That's why change needs to happen. And that's why conversations like this need to happen. So like, what can people do? What can, you know, those of us in progressive states and those of us who are not in progressive states, who are non-bio parents as well and bio parents, and it all over the place here. We're the queer families. We run the gamut, and our allies out there who listen as well. What can everybody do? What should we do?
The first thing is talk about it. Talk about it. Have a conversation. Taylor actually opened me up to it, because yes, our case is going to the Second Circuit, but they're the activists. So I'm like, what do I do? How do I help? And Taylor, all the time, she's like, just open your mouth and speak. Like, tell the mailman what's happening. Like, when you go to work, right. tell the person in the blue car parked in the handicap spot what's happening to your family. Like, just talk about
it. The biggest fight started as conversations in someone's living room. Stonewall happened when people were fed up in a bar. The right. civil rights movement happened as conversations in kitchens and dens and living rooms and parking lots. And I'm here today to tell you that I'm sorry, but sometimes it's uncomfortable. But at Thanksgiving, you have to tell Uncle Jim that that's not okay. And I tell everybody, it's all about even just microdosing the information, right? Like, I understand that not everybody wants to be super political on Facebook and things. I understand that. But respectfully, sharing valuable information is so important, because it does change minds slowly, but it does. And that's just one way.
You know, that's the whole reason why this podcast exists, because so many folks do not have any inkling of an idea what we go through to make our families. And then the amount of backlash that is thrown at families like ours is just insane. And if you just would sit and listen to our stories, our journeys, you're going to have some empathy and compassion about everything we did to get the families that we have, right? And
right.
That's just to your point, same thing, same. Like, these stories need to be told. These conversations need to be had, as difficult as they are. And they can be extremely difficult. And sometimes you really just can't fight with stupid.
Right.
Right. Like sometimes like there's no winning and like, I don't know what to do in that situation, but I don't know. I don't know. It's really hard. This is scary.
Our oppressors want us to be silent, but we owe it right. to each other to keep telling our stories.
And so for anybody who is in Louisiana right now, is either pregnant or about to start their family, what would you say to them? Like, watch out for the, like, choose your judge wisely. Like, what can you do?
Unfortunately, you can't choose your judge. And in our parish, we only have one adoption judge. So yeah. we can't get this sent to another judge, unfortunately.
Do your research. Speak to your legal team.
Speak to a lawyer first, for sure.
Get a lawyer. Don't take anything for face value. Just because you're told, oh, yeah, we've dotted all our I's, we've crossed all our T's, this is the open shut thing. Like, all we got to do is submit this paperwork. Nikki becomes mom. Let's go. Expect the unexpected right now in especially Northeast Louisiana.
Be married. Hire an attorney. Take their advice. You can't just go out and hire any attorney. You need to mm-hmm. hire an attorney with some type of background working with same-sex couples. You can't mm-hmm. just, I mean, please understand that I understand politics and personal views are supposed to be left out of this, but unfortunately, sometimes it's not.
You need mm-hmm. an attorney that's going to fight for you.
You need an attorney that's going to fight for you and your specific yeah. case.
My attorney is kick ass.
and you need to reach out to reach out to your local organizations. Like if you are local to us, we do have NELA Pride. There's people who are going to at least emotionally help you in your journey.
It is scary right now to be queer all over the country. Doesn't matter yeah. where you are. As hard as it is sometimes, developing a community is the most important thing that you can do. You've developed an amazing community and people need to not be scared to reach out and finding someone, even if it's one person, an organization. What's the worst thing's going to happen if you send a Facebook message or an email? They don't respond, you know, right. or they could reach back out and make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you're not in Northeast Louisiana, you can always reach out to NELA Pride.
The thing is, just expect the unexpected when it comes to queerness yeah. in any way. Let's not forget, like the more, and I'm doing quote unquote here, the more marginalized you are, even within the queer community, the worse things are for mm-hmm. different folks with even within our community. And so I guess the hope is that everybody finds community and everybody finds the resources they need. And that's why we're telling these stories. Thank you so much for taking the days off of work. Yeah. Day.
It just blew your
Thank
whole
you
mind.
Thank you so
right?
much for having us. We appreciate it more than we could ever tell you.
Yeah, no, not at all. This is great. And like, this is the whole reason, honestly, this is why I started the show, because of the things that we go through, right? And this is a big one. Wishing you all the best. You got
Thank
this.
Thank you.
You got this.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.